Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Anthony. I'm Director of Outreach here. For those of you who do know me, no, we didn't just skip and go straight to announcements. Pastor Chris is fine. He is just enjoying some rest with his family, and he has asked me to continue this conversation that we kicked off last week, a brand new series that we called An Unstoppable Force. And I just want to thank Karen for sharing her story with us. Her story rings a lot of truth to my story, and you'll hear a little bit about my story today in today's conversation, but I'm sure at times all of us can identify with what she was talking about. And if this is your first time with us, I want to encourage you. We are in week two of the series of Unstoppable Force. I want to encourage you to go back, listen to our podcast, or watch us on live stream. Shout out to those who are watching on live stream and listening to the podcast now, because Pastor Chris really kicked off this series in a beautiful way and helped us to realize that we begin to look at the courageous giving of the early church and how it was courageous in what they did, not only in what they were giving, but in the fact that they were even proclaiming that Jesus Christ was the Savior at all. And you'll hear a little bit more about this a little bit later on, but to live during this time, you look at the Jews and the non-Jews who are known as the Gentiles, to live in this time, this particular time, to even proclaim that Jesus Christ was the Messiah took an incredible amount of courage. And so not only are they living in this time of oppression and proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, but they're also giving and they're also making this incredible impact in the world around them. And it was amazing to see at the way that they gave. And last week, Pastor Chris encouraged us to give courageously as well. And I was brought back to my story a little bit. Some of you may or may not know, I came to know Christ when I was in graduate school. I went to graduate school at the now 16-time National Football Championships, Alabama, Roll Tide. And thank you. Four people are fans. But I went and I came to know Christ down there. And really, when you're in Alabama, you get to know Christ and football. That's your choices. So I came to know both really, really well. And when I was in Alabama, not only did I come to know Christ, but I was in graduate school, which means I got a teaching stipend, which was if I was making the same amount per month that I was making, getting that teaching stipend then, and I was living in Hoboken, I could probably afford to live about on 3rd and Garden, not in an apartment, but actually on the corner of 3rd and Garden on the concrete. That's about how much I would have been making. But like Pastor Chris said, and like my pastor down there said, that it was important when you're on this mission to give. And so what little it was, but I still gave. And yes, it did take courage. But I believed what Pastor Chris talked about last week. I believed what God wanted to do, that God wanted to do something in my life through giving. And I really, really believe that. I gave because I believe that God wanted to do something in my life through giving. And last week, Pastor Chris, he talked about that he wants to, you know, that God wants our heart and that he wants us to experience joy. And that's one of the reasons that we do give, that God wanted to do something in my life through giving. And I fully believe that. And when we talk about the early church, now I'm not talking about those who attended the 9:30 service. I'm talking about the early church of those who as soon as Christ was resurrected and he gave this mission to his people, the early church are those disciples who right after Christ was resurrected and ascended into heaven, that he went and took his message to the ends of the earth. So that is what we talk about when we're talking about the early church. And something amazing happens, that when you look at the launch of the early church, you see a group of people who understood what God wanted to do in their lives through giving. And I thought I understood what God wanted to do in my life through giving. But to be honest, that wasn't the primary reason that they gave. It wasn't the primary reason. And this is the reality. The reality is, and maybe some of you have experienced this in your own life, that when you give, the giving actually changes the life of the giver. And I've experienced this time and time and time again. But their motivation was not found primarily in their life, that it was actually found in the lives of others. It wasn't so much about how their life would change, but it was about changing the world forever for those around them. And And the reason that they gave is because they understood the gravity of this mission that they had been given to. And they also understood their role in that mission. And last week we talked about the Apostle Paul and how he's writing and instructing into all of these churches. And the Apostle Paul did, you know, write most of the New Testament. And he's also responsible for helping the gospel spread along the Mediterranean rim. And so he kept writing to these churches that he was writing to while in prison about the importance of what they were doing. And Paul addresses, as we found last week in the second letter to the Corinthians, all about, he reminds them, first, of what their mission is and why they do what they do. And so if we looked in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20, you see that it says, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the word to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we speak, when we plead, come back to God. You see, they understood this. They understood that they were the ambassadors. We're the ambassadors. We're the ones who are responsible for taking this message forward. And what's an ambassador? Well, those who know me know I'm a big fan of the dictionary. So it says an ambassador is an official representative. See, they understood. They understood that they're the ambassadors. They're the ones that are responsible to carry out this message forward. That they're the ones who are to give for the lives of those around them. And see, the reason that they gave was not primarily about them at all. It was about making sure that they did all that they could to what? To help people find their way back to God. Huh. Sounds familiar. If you've been with us for a while, you know that that's our mission. It's something that we say every single week. Justin said it today. We are here. We believe here at Hoboken Grace that we are here to help people find their way back to God. And you know why? Because if you look at the end of this verse, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. They gave for that mission of helping people find their way back to God. The same mission of the early church is our mission today. And why? Because it's the same mission that Jesus Christ gave to every single one of us. He says it in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. He says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, they gave to a mission. And they did so not only because they understood the mission and how important that the mission was, but they gave for three distinct reasons. Number one, they gave so that people could go. There's a story about the Church of Antioch, and the Church of Antioch was pretty much responsible for taking missionaries and helping that to spread the gospel. Most of the missionaries of what you read about in the book of Acts are from this Church of Antioch. And there's this one story that I love about this community of believers that are responding to a crisis. And they hear that that there is going to be a severe famine. Right, a severe famine that's going to impact the entire Roman world. And immediately when they hear this knowledge, they take action. The church responds immediately in Acts 11:29 that says, so each of the disciples, according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brothers who lived in Judea. So immediately. So this is how this early church was working. As soon as they saw a need, they took action. People were giving so they were able to be able to go. Last year, you may remember in April of 2015, there was an earthquake that devastated Nepal. And one of our partners, they actually were called Restore International until last week or the week before. They recently changed their name to Love Does. And one of the things that Love does is they work around the world to be able to, they do incredible things. Bob Goff and the organization, I encourage you to look them up, and one of the reasons why we partner with them is just what they do and what they bring, and they're talking all about this kind of stuff, that people could go and change people's lives and help to let people know how much God loves them. It's just a wonderful organization. And anyway, as soon as they saw that there was a need in Nepal, Restore International, now Love Does, sent out an alert to everybody and said, "Hey, listen, we're going to go to Nepal." And this was just the weekend after. This was like the Monday after the earthquake. And a couple of members of our family here at Hoboken Grace got that email, heeded the call. Tuesday, they bought their tickets. And on Thursday, they were on a plane to Nepal to help to aid the efforts out there. This is exactly what he's talking about, that they were able to go, that they were able to take care of themselves enough so they were able to go and make a difference. See, they understood this. And Paul is writing to people to get them to understand. And all of these churches that he's writing to get them to understand why they are giving and what they are giving for. And they're even giving to Paul when he's in prison so he can continue to do his work while he is in prison in Rome. It says in Philippians 4:18, that says, "At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts that you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are the sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God." See, the reason that Paul was able to do what he was able to do was because people gave. And we believe that this part, this giving so that people can go, is so, so important. That's one of the reasons why we do mission trips around here. We're able to go. We're going to 6 different places around the world to be able to go and be this, be the church, be the group of believers that God wanted us and called us to be. So number one, they gave so that people could go. And number two, they gave so that people would grow. See, there's this time in the early church as they start to see their numbers starting to grow. More people are coming to know Christ. There's more disciples. They're taking care of those in need, and they see all of this thing that's happened, and then they realize the more that they're taking care of each other, the more that that all of these needs are being met, they realize that some of them are, you know what, we're here and we're taking care of those around us, but we're not growing. We're not taking the word out to other people. We're not learning. We're not understanding what God wants to do in our lives. And so as you see in Acts 6:2-4, he says, "So the 12 apostles, they called a meeting of all believers. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program." And one of the other translations says, "It's not that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the spirit of wisdom. When we give them this responsibility, then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word." Basically, they're saying, we can't do it all. We need to be able to have time to be able to take care of those in need, which they believe is equally important and we believe is equally important, but also with our needs time to study and to grow and to be a part of this conversation with God as he continues to grow in our relationship with him. That's one of the reasons why we do things like the growth path, which is something that if you don't know what our growth path is, you'll learn about it in a couple of weeks. But we also do something called Amplify, which is our one-day growth intensive. We also do our Sunday Bible studies, which are launching in just a couple of weeks. That's why we do classes like Intro to Impact to learn what it means to serve on a team or what it means to be a member here at Hoboken Grace with CORE and all of these things. And that's why we invest so heavily in our staff that's training and our leaders, our dinner group leaders. That's why we continue to train and grow them. And that's why we continue to train and grow our impact leaders, because it's so, so important to be able to grow as we continue to make disciples. So number one, they give so that they can go. Number two, they give so that they can grow. And number three, they give so that people would know. Jesus says to his disciples in John 13, 35, he says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Now, if you're new to church or you're kind of coming back or maybe you got bumped around a lot or you had a bad experience with Christianity, first and foremost, I'm really sorry about that. But what you need to know is what Jesus said, and he said that the mark of people who know me is how well they love other people. And maybe you're like me. Maybe you've been on this walk with Christ for a little while and you're starting to work all this throughout and you see that there has been a lot of bad publicity and a lot of bad PR around those who call themselves Christians. Jesus says that if you love one another, you will prove to the world that you are my disciples. It spells it out beautifully in Acts 2, 42 through 47. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This passage is amazing to me for a number of reasons. Number one, this line here that they were enjoying the favor of all people. Everyone was looking at them going, what's going on? What? They're taking care of each other. They're watching out for each other. They're taking care of their own. They're taking care of people that are not their own. It's like in Karen's story when she walked into that campus crusade and she saw these people living with joy and she's like, wait a minute, I want that. And it's something that we cling so, that we believe can be possible because it's what happened here. It's one of the reasons that coincides with our mission of helping people find their way back to God. Look, it says they broke bread they sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Congratulations, you're meeting together in the temple courts right now. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. That's our dinner groups. Trust me, some of the food is really good, and I'm glad and sincere all over the place. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. One of my favorite stories about dinner groups is there was a morning dinner group that used to meet every single day in Panera, all right, early in the morning. They would meet, and they were enjoying themselves, and they were having a great time. And one of the workers who was there every single day kept seeing them enjoy themselves. They're like, it's 6:30 in the morning. Why are these people so happy? Why are these people so happy? What's going on? And finally, after 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, this worker had enough courage to go up to him and goes, what is your deal? What are you guys on, and can I have some? And they said, oh, no, we're technically a dinner group, although, you know, we meet in the mornings, and this is who we are, and we're part of Hoboken Grace, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That guy, that Sunday that he asked that question happened to be Easter Sunday. He came for the very first time, and a few months later, he himself was baptized. You have no idea. Yeah, you can woo it. That's cool. But that's what I'm talking about, that they were enjoying the favor of all the people, that people who were not even believers were looking at them and going, what is going on? They were working towards one common goal, and that goal was the most important thing to them, that they would be able to help other people find their way back to God and know who this Christ is. We talked about it last week, Acts 4, 32 to 35. It says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessings was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give those in need. There was no doubt about the love of Christ when people saw how people gave to love people. This goes back to that courageous thing that we were talking about before. It was that unity, that love, that dedication to Christ's mission that was shown despite the risk. And there was a risk. This is during the time of the Roman Empire, and the Christian literally had no legal right to existence. Every Christ follower in the church knew that sooner or later they were going to have to testify for their faith at the cost of their life. And even the Roman Emperor Julian, who wanted to rid the earth of Christians, all right, he wanted to get rid of them all. He was looking at this and he saw more and more people being drawn towards Christianity, and he couldn't figure it out. He couldn't figure it out. He actually wrote about these people that he called atheists. And ironically enough, Christ followers were considered atheists during the Roman Empire because they didn't believe in Roman gods. Interesting, huh? So there's this book called Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper, and it has a quote in it from Roman Emperor Julian about what was going on in Rome during this time, and he couldn't figure it out. He says, atheism, all right, and in this terms, it's Christian faith. All right, the Christian faith has been specifically advanced through the loving service rendered to strangers and through their care for the burial of the dead. It is a scandal there is not a single Jew who is a beggar. And that the godless Galileans care not only for their own poor, but for ours as well. While those who belong to us look in vain for the help that we should render them. Julian's like, what's going on? I'm trying to kill these people, and they're loving us. They're loving on us. They're taking care of not only their own people, but they're taking care of our own, us as well, who are trying to get rid of them. They're like, what is going on? This is one of my favorite lines. Is it not a scandal that there is not a single Jew who is a beggar? And they care not only for their own people, but for ours as well. Something was going on in this early church. Something was going on that even the Roman emperor was speaking of this. Their giving allowed them to show Christ's love in such a powerful way that even the emperor of Rome noticed. See, they understood the mission, and they gave to make that mission a reality. Listen what Paul says in Colossians. They lived with this passion that you see Paul share. Colossians 1, 28 through 29 says, so we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom that God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and I struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. See, for them, the important mission wasn't just a convenient thing. It was crucial. It was the most important thing. And when you believe something is the most important thing, you give to make that thing a reality. You guys are all familiar with Kickstarter, right? This is a crowdfunding type thing where people put up things that they want to see come to reality, and your friends and families and others can donate to see it make a reality. Apparently, 211 people pledged about $13,000 for a giant inflatable sculpture of Lionel Richie's head. They wanted so bad to see this a reality that they made it happen. And here's proof. That is frightening. Look at that thing. 211 people said, yeah, I want to see that. And I'm going to give to make that a reality. Hello. Yes, this is him you're looking for. Wow. I think the most disturbing thing of all is like this thing coming off of his shoulder. I don't even know. Are those headphones? What is? I don't know. Frightening to take it off, please. But it's true. 211 people wanted to see this become a reality. And as we were talking about this, one of my colleagues shared with me a story about how she used to work at an organization, and a woman who had passed away left $4 million to a foundation that she created to rescue orphaned parrots. Now, I have to make sure I said parrot, because earlier on people thought I said parents, and they're like, well, that's worthy. I was like, no, her foundation to rescue orphaned parrots because parrots live longer than their human owners. $4 million worth. I gotta get a parrot. My parrot will be set for life. But she believed, they believed that this was something so important that they wanted to make this a reality. See, the early church understood that telling people about Christ was helping people find their way back to God, that this was so important that they courageously gave because they believed that people were worth dying for. They understood that helping people find their way back to God was the most important thing. And this mission, this example of their of our mission, allows us to be able to follow in their footsteps because they gave courageously and they did it three different ways. And we're called to do the exact same thing. We're called to give with our time, our talents, and our treasures. And what does that mean? Our time, for instance, dinner group, all right? Our time to give dinner group a priority, that we're able to give time to show that going to dinner group is a priority to the world around us. To go at 6:30 in the morning, as that group did week after week, and showed up, and it ended up changing that guy's life. That we show that giving time, that coming here and going to dinner group is an important part of this way that we help others to find their way back to God. And also our talents, giving of those things that God has given us to be able to help people find their way back to God. How the things that God has gifted us to be able to do, to be able to use this for this mission. Now, I told you I came to know Christ when I was in Alabama. In about 2 weeks, all right, 2 weeks coming to know Christ, I hear a message about getting involved, and so I show up, and in this particular church in Alabama, there was an info desk when you first walked into the room, when you first walked into the lobby, and behind it was this woman named Zelda, and she was about 112, and she was old, and she was very, very sweet, but she was always there every Sunday, ready to help anybody with any questions that they had, and so I came up to her after the message, and I said, "Hey, I guess we're supposed to get involved, and I'm looking where's a need, and where do you guys have a need?" And she looks me dead straight in the eyes, and she says, "Well, we really need help in the kids department." And I said, "That's cool, but do you need me to like lift anything, or like that's where I'm most comfortable? Like I can set up a lot of things. I can lift things." And she's like, "No, we really, really do need help with the kids." And I was like, "Oh, okay." I don't know if you want me around the kids, but she said, "What do I got to do?" She's like, "Well, here, let me go introduce you to the kids director." And so she went and introduced me to the kids director, and we started talking a little bit. And she's like, "Oh, you're in graduate school. That's awesome. What are you studying?" And I was like, "Well, I'm studying Shakespeare," which is about as useful as it sounds. And she said, "Oh, so you must like to perform, and you must like to do, you know, you must be able to perform." And I was like, "Well, I perform a little bit." And she's like, "Great, great, great. We just lost the person who, they're not dead, they just moved. We just lost the person who teaches the Bible stories on Sunday mornings." And I was like, "Are you sure you don't need me to lift anything or just push?" Teaching the Bible stories, like, I was like, and I don't know if you heard this part of my story, I had become a Christian 2 weeks prior. What am I doing about teaching a Bible? I don't know anything about the Bible. God created the world. That's as far as I got. And so I was like, "Well, what?" And here it is, you know, it was only 2 weeks to become a Christian, so pride set in, and I was like, "Yeah, I can do that. Sure. Why not?" And so this is what she did. She would send me the lesson on Monday, and then I had the entire week to prepare, and I would pull together costumes and props and things. I mean, it was like Carrot Top, the Bible study. I was just like, let's do this one. And all of a sudden, as we're starting to teach these kids the Bible lesson, and I was, you know, I was a little prideful, because I'd be like, "Oh, I know how we used to say this in Colorado, but how do you guys say that in Alabama? Zacchaeus? All right, great. That's what I said. Okay, great." Like I was totally playing along with it, right? I was like, "Yeah, that's how I say it." But here's the crazy thing about this story is that I continued every week for an entire year, every Sunday for an entire year. For the entire week, I would get the Bible story on Monday. I would figure out how I was going to teach it. And then on Sunday mornings, I would teach the Bible lesson to the kid. And you know what's crazy about that? That's how I learned the Bible. That's how God used me to not only help these kids understand who God is, but he also used it to be able to have me understand the scriptures. And for an entire year, I spent time in his word, and I was learning all about what he wanted to do. And so I was using my talents to be able to help people find their way back to God. And last but certainly not least, he's telling us to use our treasures in giving so that we can be effective to be able to carry out the mission. Giving what God has given us to be able to give back, to help others experience God, to help others know how much God loves them and the truth about how God loves them. Much like what Karen was talking about, that we all have an interesting view of God, and sometimes it's not exactly who God really reveals himself to be, but for whatever reason we're taught the wrong thing about who God is, and they believed that this was so important to get people to know that how much God loved them and how much he was fighting for them and how much he was pursuing them and how much he wanted them to be reconciled to him. That they were going to give their time, their talents, and their treasures in order to be able to do that. Why? Because they believed that there was nothing more important than this. Nothing. We remember what we said earlier in 2 Corinthians in 5:18 through 20. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave this wonderful message of reconciliation, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. We are called to do this. We're called to be the ambassadors, not just here on Sunday mornings. We're called to go to work for this. We're called to be ambassadors to those we work with. The scriptures say that God's will for his people is to be scattered like salt and light among all. That's the reason we live in the city that we live in, that we're ambassadors in this city. I'm a Hoboken ambassador as director of outreach. One of the things I strive for and one of the things I want to see is that when people hear in this city, when people hear the name of Jesus Christ, they smile because they've been loved by somebody who loves Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about, that favor among all people, that people here in this city are looking at this group of believers, are looking at these people and going, what is going on? This favor of all people. And last but not least, we handle our finances a certain way to be able to give to this mission so that people can go, grow, and know. Ask yourself, what is actually important? What is actually important to us? Listen to the words that Jesus says in Mark 8. Mark 8, 34 through 37, he says, then, calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you want to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Jesus taught us that people were worth dying for and that there's nothing more important than the soul, and he sent us as ambassadors to help people find their way back to him. And when we give to that. May we be courageous givers of our time, of our talents, of our treasures, to be able to see that happen. To be ambassadors to those around us. They were able to be an unstoppable force, that early church, and the impact they made was incredible. And I believe that God is calling us to be able to do that today the exact same way. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you. This is encouraging. I hope it's encouraging because because it goes to show that anything is possible when we come together with the mission, your mission, this mission that you introduced so long ago, and this mission that keeps proving to be true over and over and over again, that the more people come to understand who you are and what you've done and how you're working in their lives, the more people that come back to you, the more that we could be a force for good in this world, the more that we could be a force to be reckoned with, because we are loving those around us, that we are constantly showing just how much you've changed our lives. My prayer is for those who have been on this walk for a while, that maybe their souls just need to be stirred a little bit more. My prayer is for those who are still trying to figure you out. They're not sure how they feel about you, that they will understand how you're working in their lives. And for those who may still be far from you, that know that if they're hearing you and they're hearing this, that you have not given up on them, that you are still pursuing them. And Father, I want to pray that each and every person understands the incredible impact that they could have by just joining you on this journey. Thank you for the pictures and the stories and the illustrations of what is possible through you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.